Welcome, everyone, to another thrilling podcast of Two Mics with Two Mics. Podcast is in session. I'm Pastor Mike, and I have a microphone.
And I'm Pastor Michael, and I have a microphone and a very strong need to get rid of this gavel before it becomes integral in the podcast.
Too late.
I'm kind of curious how that comes up over audio.
I don't know. Probably loud. Base, yeah. So last week we talked about, or should I say last session, we talked about fasting for favor.
Yes.
We covered Nehemiah, and we're going to continue that one today for just a very brief time.
Yeah, and we talked about also having favor with the Lord, obtaining favor with the Lord, really letting the word penetrate you, penetrate your heart, your entire life, affect you in such a manner where that actually entreats the favor of the Lord. Drawing near to God entreats the favor of the Lord. We talked all about that. But there's a fast for favor, and Nehemiah did that fast, and we saw the results of that, which was what, Pastor, just for a quick review?
Fast result was he got what he desired from the king that he was servant to. Yes. And so the king granted him his request. And so we all know, or we as Christians all know, that in salvation, the favor of God is not earned, it's not coerced, it's not paid for, that the definition of grace is, one definition is having the favor of the Lord. We all know we didn't do anything to earn salvation, pay for salvation, coerce God into saving us. So that's favor for salvation. But the favor we're talking about is the favor that you as a believer can obtain from the Lord by what you say, what you pray, and what you do.
With that kind of favor, we kind of touched on it, there's visible proof. There's visible proof of that favor, whether it be in provision like Nehemiah or favor from, let's say, an employer, which I might talk about in a minute. But there's visible proof to God's favor, including the one with salvation. I mean, there should be, should be, visible proof of your salvation, which is that visible, that favor from the Lord, unmerited grace, unmerited favor. So just kind of getting into it here, the other fast that we see in the Word of God is a fast for favor from Esther and from the people of Israel. Now, with Esther, I grew up celebrating Purim. Purim is the celebration of the miracle that is in the book of Esther, and God basically moving on the behalf of his people to where the king did not kill all the Jews. So, you know, no matter how many times somebody wants to kill all the Jews, they never seem to succeed. I wonder why that is.
Nope, not Titus, not Hitler, not Haman.
Diocletian, not any of them. Anyway.
They killed a lot of them.
Not Hamas.
Oh, yes.
Anyway, so if you haven't read Esther, I really suggest you read the whole book. It's quite an amazing book, but I'm going to read Esther 4. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, now what he just learned was that Haman, who was the advisor to the king, evil advisor, got the king to sign a decree that said, you are going to kill all the Jews. Because Haman was jealous of Mordecai. Did not like Mordecai, and Mordecai was a Jew, so Haman figured out a way to basically get rid of Mordecai that was more acceptable, kind of a sly way of doing it. So when Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, because they all had to know about it first, and then it would go into effect, there was great mourning among the Jews, with, here you go, fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Now, that is not the fast of favor. That's a fast of lament. That's a fast of weeping. There's many of those when people died, they would fast for several days. And which is why it was so weird when David's son died, he started to eat and they said, why aren't you fasting now? And he said, because I can't do anything.
Can't
bring him back. What were you going to say, Pastor?
No, you were saying about, fasting and I was just
Okay.
I thinking didn't want to interrupt along those lines.
Well, It says, so Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Mordecai had a resolve to cry out. He had a resolve. He understood the gravity of the mm-hmm. situation. Then Esther called, I'm trying to think of how to pronounce that. Hatak, I think. One of the king's eunuchs. Whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Hatak went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai mm-hmm. told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews.
Right.
You know, you can invest your money in the kingdom of darkness as well. he also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan. Then he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people.
For the king.
Somehow Esther, I mean, she was probably, from what I remember, she was one of hundreds of wives. She was just like, you know, day 260. It's Esther day.
She didn't know what was going on.
No, she had no idea. So Hatak returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And then Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him a command for Mordecai. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. Now I'm going to touch on that in a second.
Yeah.
So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai, because this guy, he was a man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how he was a man of faith. There's no real history there, but this guy was a man of faith because his response shows that faith. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place.
That stop right there. That's mm-hmm. interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that Mordecai had such faith in his God that he would yep. utter that statement. And he would say, look, Esther, this is your opportunity to be used by God as a vessel of honor to shine. Mm-hmm. But if you refuse to do it, and Esther was a Jew. And I don't know, did the king know she was a Jew at that point?
Nope. No. Nope, not at that point. Which brings up more questions, but go ahead.
Right. And so, yeah. kind of like a Rachel Leah thing. I mean, well, let's not even get into that. So.
It was dark. Gosh, I fell. No. Sorry, go ahead.
And so, but Mordecai had such faith. He's mm-hmm. basically telling Esther, look, you can allow yourself to be used as a vessel of honor. Or you can choose to remain silent, mm-hmm. but God will bring deliverance another way, and it won't be through you.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting?
It's such a reflection of faith, because up until this point, they had been exiled. They had been exiled. Their faith in God had waned in a major way to the point where they were exiled out of Babylon out of Jerusalem in 586, to Babylonian captivity for 70 years. It happened in 722 BC with Israel. And the Assyrians, I mean, there had been such a compromise in the Israelite people that this kind of faith, if you look at all the prophets, was very rare. Because even after their return, you don't see all of Israel turning back to God except for a few different times. That's mm-hmm. it. So, yeah, this kind of faith is incredibly rare, especially to speak it out. Going back to what we said last week, session, speaking out the word of God, speaking out, building your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Mordecai must have known from the past that the Lord has brought deliverance from some unknown.
Oh, he read about it.
Oh, yeah. Random places.
Heard about it. Read about it.
Yeah. So anyway, where are we here? We're in verse 14. But you and your father's mm-hmm. house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, this is some people's favorite verse. I think it's overused.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be
misused,
honest.
Misused, overused, and abused.
Too much. but in its context, yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. What if this is your purpose, Esther? What if this is why you were married to the king? What if this is why you found, you know, your
favor?
You were appealing to the king at this time. And yes, favor. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. So I do find it interesting that Esther, okay, commanded Mordecai to fast, specifically to go into the king. Specifically, because it says very clearly, if we go back up to 8, where is it here?
Yeah, because he was already fasting,
yeah, he was fasting,
as you said, for lamenting.
Mm-hmm. To make supplication pleaded before him. Oh, she says right there, yeah, no one can go into the king. This is verse 11. Mm-hmm. In the court of the king who has not been called, he has put he puts them all to death, except for the one the kings hold the golden scepter. So it's very simple. She called Mordecai to fast for the favor of her husband, as some people, King Artaxerxes, but Ahasuerus,
whatever,
Ahasuerus,
Gesundheit.
The one thing, again, I can't get into that, but anyway,
no.
So, but here's the thing that people don't understand regarding this context, like, oh, why can't she just go visit her husband? Well, in that time, the king had a court. The king had soldiers in his court. The king had the cupbearer. He had certain people in position, certain jobs, certain slaves in his court, and they were the ones allowed in his court. If the king summoned you, you'd be brought into the court because the king was so he was so protected that no one that the king didn't approve of was allowed in that room. It's not like he just had people coming in and partying all the time. He would, if he was going to have a party, he'd call them in. And so if somebody came into that court uninvited, actually, the attendees, the soldiers that were there, would immediately kill them. It wasn't
They wouldn't
a matter,
just arrest them.
No, they would kill them right then and there. They didn't need to consult the king. They didn't. If you came in and the king did not invite you, you would be killed. Unless the golden scepter was pointed at you.
That's what we're going to get next.
And you were given permission to not die. Let's really just go with what it is.
Maybe we should make this gold, and we got to have a twofold purpose of it.
There you go.
Scepter and
There you go. So if we skip down, so there's a fast for the king, a man who, if we're going with the culture here, this man perceived himself to be a god.
Yes, he did.
That's a big thing. And so for God to move upon this man to grant favor to Esther that he would extend his golden scepter so that Esther can approach him and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's also keep in mind, which a lot of people forget, this king had a ton of wives. They were disposable. They were.
Right.
I mean, it says that he had Vashti, but he also had other concubines. I say wives. The Bible calls them concubines. They were basically like second-tier wives. He had them.
Okay, so what happened?
Okay. We're going to go right down here.
Chapter 5.
Here we go.
Verse 1.
Oh, we're going to go there. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here, you read it.
Okay. Thank you. reading from the King James Version. Thank you. Now, it came to pass on the third day, not the first day, not the second day, third day of the fast.
Yes.
That Esther, she put on her royal apparel. You know, she didn't go dress in her sweatpants and her sweatshirt.
Her Walmart attire.
She put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of his house. And it was so.
Was it royal?
It was royal.
Okay.
Very royal. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight.
Mm-hmm. So what happened?
And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand.
Yep. And then Esther went, touched the top of the scepter, and it continues from there. And it keeps going and going and going. And she says in verse 7, it says, Then Esther answered the king because he said, I'll give you up to half my kingdom because you're so good looking. actually, I don't know if that was the only
thing.
Well,
she was the queen.
Well, she was the queen.
I mean, I don't know how many queens he had, but she was the queen.
Anyway, so Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. If I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said. And so if I found favor, and what happens is, yes, she does. And the end result of this, if we go into the story, I don't want to read all of it because of time. But
it's very interesting.
It is. It's very interesting. So she requests a banquet with her and Haman, and she reveals the plot that Haman had, the manipulation.
I think at the third banquet, right?
Yeah. There's a few different banquets, but
right.
She reveals and goes, Haman got you to sign this decree to kill all the Jews. You know I'm Jewish? And Haman freaks out. Haman freaks out. He's like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And at that point, the gallows that Haman made for Mordecai, because, mm-hmm. Haman was such a great guy, he had to make gallows. Like, hey, Mordecai, check it out. That's going to be you. Those same gallows that he made for Mordecai, mm-hmm. he hung from them because the king decreed that he go there. And so Esther's really her, I don't want to call it, I guess, boldness, bravery. Mm-hmm. What would you call it?
Of what, of going before the king?
Yeah, of even going before the king.
I would just say her faith that God granted her favor.
Her faith. Well, she did call a fast. It shows a faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so her faith in combination with that fast, where all the other Jews were fasting too, I believe it says that right here, go gather all the Jews mm-hmm. who were present in Shushan, so all the Jews in Shushan, and they had this Shushan-wide fast. It granted that favor to Esther. She went before the king. She attained that favor. And because of that, the power of a man was being backed. And he acted, got rid of the decree, killed Haman, who was an enemy of the Jews, and put the Jews on the radar.
Yeah,
really?
And
king's radar.
He got rid of the decree of course, you couldn't get rid of a decree, but he got rid of the decree by saying, hey, on such and such a date, I want the Jews to defend themselves.
Yes.
And so no attack ever came.
Yes. And so ultimately, and again, I'm really just paraphrasing it. I'm going over because this is a whole, we're talking about a whole book here. And
right. We'd be another 45 minutes.
Exactly. And so, that's a huge thing is favor from a man with power mm-hmm. can do wonders for mankind. What if you had favor from a president who wanted to just... Who could remember your name? Eh?
Yes.
But also, like the power of anybody in leadership. If you have a Christian, if you have somebody who's spirit filled, you have somebody of faith, and they have favor from God in the eyes of someone with power. How will that person yield that power on behalf of that Christian? Really
favorably,
because even this king, he was a pagan king. Okay, mm-hmm. pagan king, and he still acted on behalf of the Jews, on the people of God. He acted mm-hmm. on their behalf once it was brought to his attention because Esther found favor.
Right.
And so the people of God can find favor with people in power or even their employers. Yep. I mean, it gets extended to every different aspect of someone's interaction mm-hmm. with different men.
She obtained favor of the Lord.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, through prayer and fasting, which is what we're saying. Obviously Jesus had favor, and people say, well, duh, Pastor Mike, I mean, he's Jesus. Of course he has favor. Yet the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 mm-hmm. that Jesus grew in favor with God and with man. That's just interesting. And of course, as you and I, as we follow the Lord and we keep his commandments, his laws, his statutes, yep. Those that apply to new to today's Christianity. As we seek to honor the Lord and please him, we too obtain favor of the Lord.
And I'll say this because we don't know how many, what different kinds of people are watching. We don't know where your faith is and maturity level. We don't know. You may have done something stupid, okay? And then given your life to the Lord where now you got a court date because you did something stupid before you gave your life to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You did something illegal. You can entreat the Lord's favor.
Right.
for the judge that you're going to be facing, for the jury that you're going to be facing, because you've given your life over to the Lord. You've been cleansed of all unrighteousness.
You're walking with him.
I mean, you can get favor with a policeman. You can get favor with teachers. You can get favor from your mayor. You can get favor from city council. You're going before city council, before your school board. Favor with men goes, I mean, really, I'm giving a few different examples, but don't discount the favor of God and the sway of the Holy Ghost on a heathen, on a sinner, on anybody, really, because they won't be able to pinpoint where it's coming from, but their actions will reflect it. So, praise God.
So we're going to wrap this up.
Yes.
This is another, I didn't say exhilarating, what did I say?
Tantalizing.
I didn't say that, but no, hey, we'll go
you
with
said electrifying,
another,
I think. I don't remember.
Another tantalizing, electrifying podcast of Two Mics with Two Mic. And this is Pastor Mike saying we love you. Thank you for watching. And take us home, Pastor Michael.
Yes, and please like, subscribe. If you want to email us, just email us at asktwmikes@gmail.com. Please continue to share the podcast and continue to stay strong in your fast. Be diligent in seeking the Lord, and we love you.
Less than 2 weeks ago.
That's right. Bless you.
So we are signing off. Podcast is adjourned.